So our first question, how would you talk with kids if you found out they're the ones bullying another child? What a good question.
So I get that a lot. Like, what do you do? How do you handle the bully? Like, what do you do with the bully? And my feeling is with bullies is that we talk to them about what's going on, and we let them, we ask them questions, because usually there's a reason they're bullying, and we want to understand where it comes from. Sometimes it's role modeling at home. There's certain ways they're learning to bully and why they're doing it. So if I were to find out that my kid is actually a bully, I would want to hear their side of it first, and I would try to really emulate with them empathy. I think that's a really important piece, because do they understand how it really made someone else feel? Do they understand that that's hurtful? And really kind of explore with them the idea of empathy and being nice to other people, and also what may be getting triggered for them. Because what I often see a lot in my practice is if a bully is bullying, there's a reason for it. There's something they don't understand about the other person. There's something going on that maybe is confusing. So I think really open a conversation the way I would not talk to find out what's really going on, because ultimately that's the goal with even someone who's bullying, why they're bullying. You want to understand their process, and we can only do that if we come from an understanding place ourselves.
Absolutely. We always say, as we work with our students who have learning and attention challenges, there can be behaviors that can go along with that sometimes. And the thing is, there's always a reason to the behavior. And when we can stop and really figure out what that reason is, then we can help the child address it.
Exactly. And that's ultimately our goal. And so we don't want to shame them either, because that's what we don't want to teach them, which is what they may have done to someone else. We don't want to model that as parents. And I think parents, I understand they feel very frustrated in that moment. And so I urge them to take a deep breath, go for a walk, do some self-care before they have that actual conversation. I really encourage that as well.
That's such a good point. I love how it all ties together. It's like there always is that, that root issue, and yeah, addressing it there. That's a good point. We have Kathy checking in to say hi. Thank you, Kathy. Hello. We have another question. Do you have any advice for parents who might want to be proactive in, maybe so far their child hasn't been bullied or anything, but they want to have that kind of relationship where if it did come up, their child felt comfortable. Do you have any tips for kind of laying the groundwork there for parents?
Yeah, I think depending on the age of your child, I think it's really important to have conversations about issues that may end up coming up at a certain time, where, if anything comes up or someone you feel is upsetting you or hurting you, I want you to always know I'm here for you and I'm non-judgmental. I think that piece is really important to say, is I'm non-judgmental. I'm not going to judge you for whatever you come and say to me. I'm going to do and hear you and support you through it, because all I want for you is the best. And I think having that upfront conversation, and sometimes even with maybe middle school and elementary school kids, I think reading certain books about peer situations and social situations can be really powerful, because then I think that brings up dialogue and conversations. The other time of day, I think, not as much right now in COVID, but that we have talked about that I think can be a good time of day to talk to your kids about issues is the car. I find the car time is really good between, going to different events or something. Kids aren't as on their social media always all the time, and it's a good time to say, hey, put your stuff away for a few minutes. We only have a couple minutes to drive to X's house. Let's just talk. Let's talk about how things are going for you. Or sometimes maybe at bed time, that could also be good. But you want to leave an open-ended space for kids to really come back to you, where again, they don't feel shame, they don't feel judged, and they feel like you're really open to hearing them without giving them a solution either. Because you really want to be clear that you don't want to tell them as the parent, well, then I'll take care of it for you. I'll go to the school and I'll, because that's the last thing the kids want. They don't want any parent taking care of it. They're ashamed as it is, and they feel bad to burden a parent, and they worry about that. So I don't recommend that frame of reference either. I would just leave a really safe, honest space for kids to come and talk about any issues, including bullying.
That's a great point. I know that I've had students where they've mentioned things and it sounds like they could be getting bullied. And I'm like, hey, do your parents know about what's going on? And they're like, no, like they're just gonna, go to the school or go to their parents and you're, yeah, it's so true. That's not what they want. So definitely right. a good reminder. Well, yeah, keep posting your questions, everyone. And I'll be checking back later in the show. And again, just so everyone feels comfortable posting their questions, I won't be putting them up on the screen.
All right. Thank you, Maddie. This is LD Expert Live. I'm your host, Jill Stoll, and we're talking today with Danielle Matthew, who is an author, speaker, and trainer on the topic of bullying. So with COVID, our kids have been out of school and pretty isolated from each other for about 6 months. And I know we talked a little bit about bullying in cyberspace, but has there been a change in that behavior with most of their social life being online? Is it better or?
Well, that's a great question, Jill, because I think what I've seen is a lot of kids at first when COVID happened in mid-March, some kids who were being bullied and had social situations at school that were high anxiety for them, they were happy not to be at school. They didn't want to be there and they were okay being at home and being away from social situations. And even towards graduations, some kids, when even if they got out of their cars, they'd be worried, well, what are other kids going to be thinking of me, even though they hadn't been in school for a couple months, but would do the drive-by graduations. So there was still a lot of feelings about it. But interestingly enough, what I have found more recently, as we've gotten 6+ months into COVID and still the online school, kids are wanting to go back to school. Even kids who've been bullied and had high social pressures, they're wanting to be back in a school environment again, and they're not wanting to be at home, and they miss the routine, and they miss just being in school and not being at home online and doing Zoom calls or going into certain documents to find their homework assignments. And so a lot of kids, even bullied kids, miss being in school and they miss that routine.
Wow. Yeah. And that's so tough right now because it's very, very up in the air about what that's really going to look like.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned something with regard to social media a little bit earlier, but I feel like it bears repeating. You said something about, helping kids to understand that they're on stage. I think sometimes when people are on social media, it feels somehow easier to say things that you wouldn't necessarily say in person. And I just think that's a great image mm-hmm. for kids to have. Just know you're on stage mm-hmm. when you post stuff out there.
Yes. And to your point, sometimes when kids are so angry and they're so active, they're not thinking in that moment when they're posting something what the after effects will be like. So I really encourage, when we talked about earlier, when parents talk about how to responsibly use social media, using different examples ahead of time, like, you're going to get really mad sometimes if someone says this to you. What do you want to do about that? How do you think you can respond? And having some maybe work ahead of time on it to kind of prepare them for those kinds of situations and how they can responsibly answer so it doesn't make them feel bad later. Because what I hear 99% of the time is they're upset later with what they ended up saying because they were so engaged in the moment in feeling so frustrated about things.
Yeah. So as you work with young people in your private practice, mm-hmm. You talked a little bit about how kids are wanting to go back to school. Are there any particular things that you feel like you're seeing as kids are going back to school, just with relation, kind of a little more broadly, but with COVID, with homeschooling, you know, just sort of the fears that kids kind of build up?
That's a great question, Jill, because one of the things that I'm starting to see is that COVID is being handled very differently in different communities, and parents have different levels of response to COVID. Some parents are really cautious and careful and want the social distancing and kids not to be near each other and masks wearing and all that. And there are other kids whose parents are more lenient about COVID and how they can be with their friends and have sleepovers and whatnot. And that can create a significant divide of potential bullying post-COVID, because what's happening is kids aren't able to participate and be a part of activities that they normally would be, and they feel ostracized sometimes. It's not maybe intentional, and other times it may become intentional because they can't, oh, this is the kid who has to be 6 feet apart. This is the kid who always has to wear the mask. She won't be able to come to our sleepover. She can't go out with us on Halloween. You know, her parent is this. And so it really creates a very, very concerning divide for me with kids in our community. And I'm seeing this in some of my clients, is that they have a really hard time and feel bad because their parent may be more cautious and careful for something that is very significant and serious, where another parent is viewing it differently. And so how do you balance that? You know, because you can't tell parents to do things differently. That's how they feel. But you have to help the kids find a balance so they don't lose their friends, they don't lose their connections, and they can feel somewhat still a part of things, even if it feels very different to what their other friends get to do. You want to not get them to feel more socially isolated, and that's when depression and anxiety increase significantly.
Mm-hmm. So I know you do a lot of training for educators on how to deal with bullying at school. Mm-hmm. And certainly if it is not on site, it may not be as evident to a teacher, but what would you really like for teachers and school administrators to know about how to handle bullying at their school?
I think it's really important to handle bullying that you do not bring kids in if you're a principal. We'll start there. I don't suggest you bring kids in together, the bully and the victim and their parents, because what you do in that situation, even though your intentions are good to address the problem and handle it, it ends up re-victimizing the victim again, who's been bullied. And then they will just be more secretive and careful. And every time I hear this from parents later, when they've gone to a principal's office, and then the one thing I constantly hear later is the whole idea of their kid getting re-victimized again, and their kid having to, now they can't even see it, so a teacher can't call it out. But if a teacher and a principal, let's just say, wants to address bullying, it's okay to talk to a parent. I do suggest that that's still important. Parents have a right to have an idea of how a school is going to handle bullying. But when a principal addresses it, what I'm really strongly suggesting is you give a plan of action to a parent, that this is what we're going to do. We're going to follow up within these days. We're going to do our own investigation, even though it's, you know, you can't really tell the specifics. It's private information about how they're going to address problems, but they can give just an actionable plan to parents. And in giving an actionable plan can really help them with, okay, I hear the principal gets it. She's really, or he's on my side. He gets it, and he's going to follow up with this amount of days. And then that principal must follow up, because that's what the parents want. They don't want to hear the specifics of what you're going to do to John, or how you're going to handle John's family, or what you're going to tell the teachers. They want to know that they have an advocate. They want to know that there's someone there that has their voice. And they want to know that by the follow through and the plan that's put forth to them. And if teachers are confronted with this, I really think their schools, every school should have education on bullying, what bullying is, what it's not, and how to intervene and what to do, because it's really important to understand how kids feel and how to help them respond to bullying. You know, one of the things that I hear a lot, I will just add this in, is about the bystander, right? And being that positive bystander who's really positive and stands up for the victim. The reality is a lot of kids, as wonderful as it is when they can do it, and I think it's wonderful, I don't think we can ask that of our kids, especially in, I think, middle school and high school. I think kids don't want to get bullied themselves, and so they don't want to be put in the position always to have to do that. But they still have a voice, and I want teachers and educators to know and teach kids how to still have their voice. If there's a situation where there's a neutral bystander and there's a kid in the middle not engaging one way or the other, they can go back to the bullied victim later and go, are you okay? is everything okay? Do you want to talk about something? So that doesn't get them in trouble with their other friend who may be the bully, but they can still use their voice to support them. So I would encourage educators to also use their voice to teach kids how to be an advocate in other ways that can still be really powerful and helpful. It's that whole empathy idea, right? About checking in and asking kids how they feel and really understanding their situation and letting them know that in their words.
That's a really great point about the bystander and being careful not to force them into a position that now they're having to choose between two friends or
yes.
put themselves in a vulnerable position.
Yes.
Yeah. So what should parents be aware of as they approach the school about a particular incident involving their child?
So what I always suggest to parents is go directly to the teacher and to the principal first. Go in the proper channels. If you're not feeling like you're getting the follow through that I was just talking about, where they have a plan of action and a time frame to follow up with you, and you've given them time, I would document all of this. And then what I would do is I would go to the superintendent of the school, because I go through the channels, because the superintendent, rightfully so, is going to say to you, did you go through the proper channels? And what was the response? And I would have something documented. At that point, if you're still feeling like you're not getting your point across, I really don't want to see parents, and I see this a lot, and have kids leave schools because the kids can't handle it anymore. There's escalating depression. It's just too much socially. I would like us to get to things before that point, because really what I teach kids and I teach parents in my trainings and my presentations is that kids have to get used to being in difficult situations, and not situations that put them at risk for suicide or depression. Then, of course, we don't want kids in those situations. But we want to learn how to work with other people, because at some point, they're going to be working in an environment they may not like their coworkers or their boss, and they have to learn coping skills. And so I would rather kids not have to get to a point where they're so badly damaged that they have to leave a school, and the school superintendent or the principal or teachers can assist. If that doesn't work, my last resort, and I think this can be very powerful and effective if you go through the right channels, is you can also go to a special education attorney. And special education attorneys are very well educated on school policies and procedures, and usually will have really good connections with school districts. And that can also be a really positive channel between a parent and a school to really try to work things out in a positive way before having to pull them out of a school. I really recommend that as a last resort, because I do believe that educators do have a responsibility to do what they can to keep every child safe and happy and productive in school.
And you know, in the long term, if we can even take really challenging incidences like that and help our kids become more empathetic and learn how to solve the problems, it's going to serve them so much better. And mm-hmm. and there's a lot of trauma in changing schools.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of shame and questioning. I mean, kids are so much deeper than we sometimes realize that they are. And so they bury these feelings of, you know, I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't good enough. I had to go. And we just never know how they're going to internalize that and then carry it around. So.
Yes, that's a really good point. And so what I will say to that is that if kids don't get help, they will carry it around, and somewhere else in their life, even as young adults, I see this in my practice, they get traumatized and they have a hard time in intimate relationships. They had to have a hard time in their careers because they're still stuck in that bullying place and the self-esteem that was attached to it. So mm-hmm. I really encourage people to get help and to process through what happens, because it's pretty traumatic. And even I can tell you, as somebody who has been bullied, that I will still have times that I get triggered, and it happens and you don't always know it. And it's in a slapstick of a moment. And it's like, oh, I'm getting triggered, like from my old stuff of being bullied X amount 30, 40 years ago, you know, like it's really coming up again for me. And I have to know that and really get that that's what's going on for me, because it's still the trauma lasts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that is actually a really critical piece that we need to talk about, and that is the parents' own feelings about bullying, because that comes into this too, and just kind of understanding that idea of triggers.
Yes. So what I really suggest is, it's such a triggering topic, because some parents I'll see will get so upset and triggered, because of course you want to protect your kids and you don't want to see them upset. You don't want to see them hurt. Of course, no one does, but you want to sometimes get angry at them. I've had parents say, well, you know, they're on a baseball team, and they'll say, well, I'm going to go talk to that coach and I'm going to handle the problem, and my kid's not going to be treated this way anymore. And then I'll say to them, so then what? And they'll say, well, what do you mean by that, Danielle? What do you mean then what? Well, how is that going to transcribe to the kid later, to your child? Because you're getting involved and you're really angry, of course, and frustrated. Do you see that it's going to hurt your child later, because it's going to come back and they're going to be re-victimized? And then as you take them through the steps, the parents go, oh, you're right. So it's really, your actions have impact on your kids. And you have to be really self-reflective. Do a lot of self-care around triggers for yourself. You may not understand, because you may have not felt like a bullying victim before, and you don't understand what it's like. You could have been very popular growing up, had no social situations that caused you problems, or you could be someone who was bullied and you understand, and you can almost over-identify with your child to the point where there's not as much distance to be helpful to them. So it's really important, I encourage parents to check in this very sensitive topic with how they're feeling and how they handle things. Because remember, you want to help guide children and your kids to feeling better. You don't want to do that for them, because they need to learn how to cope. Because we all know, as we've learned with COVID, the world isn't always a great place. It's not always a safe place. And we have to learn to help them cope and be strong, even in difficult situations. And so I encourage parents to do a lot of their own self-care when they talk about this topic. Maybe it's not after they had a fight with their partner or with their boss that day, or had a really hard day at work. Maybe that's not the time to approach such a sense conversation about bullying.
Great, great advice. Wow. Thank you so much.